Robert Woodson, the founder of the Woodson Center and a black civil rights activist, shares in his January 2020 Wall Street Journal op-ed celebrating the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that King would not affirm the New York Times 1619 Project assertion that anti-black racism runs in the very DNA of this country, nor would he disparage the American Revolution, the Declaration of Independence, or insist that America is hopelessly racist. Dr. King believed deeply in the need to remain true to the founder's vision, the patriot dream that sees beyond the years. To him, that was the only avenue toward fulfilling the American promise. As he wrote in his 1963 letter from a Birmingham jail, "One day the South will know that when the disinherited children of God sat down at lunch counters, they were in reality standing up for what is best in the American dream and for the most sacred values in our Judeo-Christian heritage, thereby bringing our nation back to those great wells of democracy, which were dug deep by the founding fathers in their formulation of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence. We will reach the goal of freedom in Birmingham and all over the nation because the goal of America is freedom. Abused and scorned though we may be, our destiny is tied up with America's destiny." You know, the powerful thing about Dr. King's words in that letter from a Birmingham jail, and I don't know if you've read that letter. It's fairly extensive for a letter, but also very rich and very full. One of the things that's amazing to me that in that jail cell, Dr. King's vision in jail was still for freedom. And that's what makes this letter so powerful and his words so powerful. It was in the crucible of that moment, and for that matter, the crucible of his journey for freedom with his people that made these words so powerful. Today, as you look at your lessons that are in the bulletin, it's amazing to me how they all talk about visionaries, people that have had experiences with God. And because of those experiences with God on the mountaintop, their lives were forever changed. Their experience on the mountaintop was that they had a divine encounter with the living God. They heard the word of God in a way that was fresh and new. And out of that encounter, they came down from the mountain different people. And they came down from the mountain with a message, I think, that was even more powerful and anointed than what they had when they began the hike up that mountain beforehand. My sense today, as we think about these visionaries and we consider their lives, is we need to be faithful to their vision. You know, a lot of times people hear the vision of the visionaries, and then they shift it, and they change it. And they're no longer faithful to the vision that was given to the visionary. I think that's the wrong direction to go in. We need to be faithful to the vision that was given to the visionaries. King's battle was against racism, very definitely. But it's also you and I, it's important for you and I to understand how he fought that important battle during that time that he was alive in our history. First of all, he sought to fight that battle through faith. You know, as we all know, Dr. King was a minister. He often would preach and have messages in different churches. A lot of people in the churches were a part of his movement during that time and still are to this day. And so he would strongly speak a word of faith to the people of God and to the country about living into the fullness of the gospel. And for that matter, the fullness of what the documents of our country speak and what that meant for the black people of America. So faith was a very important part of his journey. He drew tremendous strength from his relationship with God, his relationship with the people of God, and God's call on his life to be a voice in that moment. Another key principle of Dr. King's was nonviolence. And I don't know about you, but I remember some of the images from those days of the dogs going in and just attacking viciously the protesters of the day. I remember King going for a walk one time. He was out in a field. and somebody was filming him. They were talking, and out of nowhere, a rock came and hit him in the side of the head. Went down to his knees, got the handkerchief out of his pocket, and began to wipe the blood from his face. And you can tell for a moment, he just paused. It hurt him. Obviously, it hurt him. But then you just saw the resolve grow on his face, that is not going to stop me. You know, up until that point, he had had so many rocks that had already hit him, both literally and figuratively, and he kept walking through that field. A powerful, powerful principle of walking in nonviolence, of walking in mercy and forgiveness, especially toward those that are exacting great violence on you in the moment. And then finally, in terms of our country, one of the lines for me that stands out from a letter from a Birmingham jail is this phrase, return to the great wells of democracy. Dr. King was an incredible speaker, an incredibly gifted man with words. Often I'll go back and read some of his writings, listen to his speeches, hear what he had to say, just so gifted. But for me, this phrase, great wells of democracy, really rings a chord for me in this moment in our country. Dr. King wasn't looking to divide America through identity politics or overthrow it to realize a communist manifesto. Hear his words. See his life. Look what he was fighting for. And I say return to that. The great wells of democracy, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the founding documents of this nation, Dr. King's words to the people of his day and to us in this moment is that true freedom will be realized through our relationship with God and loving one another and through these founding documents of the country. Very powerful words, especially in this moment in which we live. You know, it's interesting as we look at the lessons today, and you look at all of them, they have to do with these stories of going to the mountain and encountering God. In Genesis 22:14, we read the story about Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain. And as they were heading up the mountain, Isaac asked his father Abraham, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Because Isaac knew what was going on. And he said, Dad, where's the lamb at? And in that moment, what Abraham spoke to him was a word of faith. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. So as they journey up the mountain, of course, Isaac did not know about the conversation that God had had with Abraham earlier on. So they get up to the mountain. Isaac is strapped down on the altar. Abraham has his knife raised, ready to sacrifice him. And in that moment, as you know, the angel of the Lord comes and says, stop. Do not sacrifice your son, because now I know that you will not withhold anything from me or what I desire. And oh, by the way, there's a ram in the thickets. Our just-in-time God. And so Abraham sacrifices the ram on the altar with Isaac there. And Abraham and his son Isaac walk down the mountain together. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. In the story that we hear today about Moses, he journeys up Mount Sinai to receive from the Lord God Almighty the Ten Commandments. He's on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights as he's fasting and praying in preparation to receive the Word of God and to receive the presence of God in a very powerful and transforming way. And in fact, the Jews to this day, the rabbis and everyone make it perfectly clear that this is one of the signs to them of the divine revelation that Moses received was the Ten Commandments. And it is simply this. Israel at the time lived in a world of polytheistic nations. They had come from Egypt, polytheistic. They were surrounded by the Canaanites and other people in the land of the day who were polytheistic. And so how is it that one nation, the nation of Israel, ends up becoming monotheistic? A divine revelation from God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and worship him alone, serve him alone. You shall have no other idols or false gods before you. Divine revelation from God. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And he brought down the Ten Commandments, and the rest of our lives have never been the same. And then the disciples journeyed up the mountain. I imagine in the moment they were thinking, well, I guess we're going on a hike today. Jesus and I, the three of us, are going on a hike. And imagine their surprise when they get to the top of the mountain. Jesus is literally transfigured in their presence. In fact, look at the words from 2 Peter that we read today. You know, again, Jesus said to them, do not share about this until after I've risen from the dead. This is Peter sharing what the experience was on the mountain. You know, we've been eyewitnesses of his majesty. You know, the majestic glory that is there. This is my son, the beloved, the voice that we've heard from heaven. You know, just this amazing theophany, this appearance of God. So they knew Jesus as a human being. They knew him as a miracle worker. But in that moment, they saw his glory. They saw his divinity. And there's always a cue in the scriptures when this really happens. People usually fall to the face, they're on their faces in fear, and that's exactly what they did. They were in the glory of God. You see it time and again. And they experienced the transfiguration of the Lord. They saw him in all of his glory before his crucifixion. And I believe that that manifestation on the mountain was a ministry to them. It was an encouragement to them in the time that was to come. You know, remember this moment on the mountaintop. I'm about to go to the cross. I'm about to suffer a lot for all of you. But remember this glory on the mountain, the transfiguration. Remember who I am. What a powerful time. What a powerful moment. What a transforming moment for them and for all of us as well. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. On the mountain of the Lord, you and I will receive exactly what we need for the moment. The glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, the word of the Lord for ourselves and for those who are around us. God's power and words are given on the mountain. Sometimes you got to go to the mountain to get what God wants to give you. You're not going to get it down in the valley. You're not going to get it on your easy chair. You're not going to get it on the back patio. You're going to have to go up the mountain and prepare yourself to receive from God. Dr. King shared, and I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I want to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he has allowed me to go up on the mountain. And I looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I don't fear any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.